The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then, in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Forgiveness, huh? To forgive might just be the most challenging thing that Jesus tries to teach us to do. Peter asks Jesus, "How often must I forgive?" and thinks he's being generous when he says, "As many as seven times." This question sounds to me like a poorly disguised little kid's question of, "When can I hit him back?" Or, "When can we throw him out of the family, or the church, or the club?" How you interpreted last week's gospel, I think, has a big effect on how you would answer this question if you were asked. Recall last week Jesus saying, if your brother sins against you, first talk to him privately, second take more witnesses with you to talk to him privately, and if that doesn't work, take him before the whole community. But if that still doesn't work, Jesus' words are these: treat him as you would treat a Gentile or a tax collector. So, is Jesus saying, it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out? No, he isn't. When Jesus says, treat the transgressor as if he were a Gentile or a tax collector, he is not saying, shun him, stay away, break off the relationship. Look at how Jesus himself treated Gentiles and tax collectors. He engaged them in conversation. He healed them. He ate with them. Even called one specifically to become his disciple. Jesus was not establishing a limit on forgiveness in last week's gospel. He was expanding the call to be forgiving. And in today's passage, he takes it even further. First, Jesus increases the seriousness of the hypothetical offense in his story. This translation says the servant owed his master a huge amount and had no hope of paying it back. Older translations say he owed 10,000 talents. Now, if you know the money arithmetic of the time, it leaves us with this. If that servant worked every day, no breaks, no weekends, no vacations, every day, he could pay off his debt in just under 165,000 years. The numbers don't work out very well. At the same time he's doing that, he uses a figure of speech 7 times, 77 times, or in the older translation, 70 times 7. He's saying, how often must we forgive? Always. We are never to stop forgiving. Why? Because we ourselves never stop needing God's forgiveness. This is nonetheless a truly intimidating challenge. Is it humanly possible? I don't think so. At least probably not, or at best, hardly ever. That's why we show up here, I think. It's why I show up here. The power of God's grace working within us with our conscious participation and cooperation is our best real hope of being able to persevere in the face of great injury or terrible tragedy. Earlier this year, I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and got my first exposure ever to the large Amish community in the surrounding farms and towns. It is a gorgeous landscape. It's picturesque. But I recalled, as I was looking at that landscape, that in October of 2007, a 32-year-old man, not Amish, saw his own 3 children safely onto their school bus, and shortly after picked up a 9mm handgun and entered the Amish schoolhouse that was less than a mile from his own home. He sent all the adults and all the boys out, which left him alone with 10 girls, whom he tied up and shot. 5 died. 5 survived. Among the 5 who survived, 1, a 6-year-old, was left unable to walk, talk, or feed herself. The youngest of the girls was 6, the eldest was 13. Then the shooter turned the gun on himself and died at the scene. A horrific event in this picture-perfect landscape. If you remember that story in the news, you might remember that the reaction of the victimized Amish community made almost as much national news as did the shooting itself. Within hours, members of the Amish community were reaching out to comfort the parents, the wife, the other family members of the shooter. That didn't make all the pain go away for any of those grieving parents. How could it? The event was real. The destruction remains real. It didn't make all the pain go away, but it did not compound and perpetuate it either. When the family of the shooter was holding a private burial service for the shooter's body, they found themselves being joined by about 40 men and women from the Amish community who had come there to pray with them and to support them. That's Christian witness. Now, I'm not going to stop trimming my beard or get rid of my motor vehicles and join an Amish community. But I do wonder how close might I come to that level of forgiveness when faced with a wound just half as severe. I'm convinced that our best source of the strength we would need to do that kind of forgiveness, our very best source, is the sacred meal we are about to share. I'll see you there.